Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. We won't make it to chapter 25, I already know it. Maybe 23 and 24, but chapter 23 is such a powerful chapter in regards to woe to false prophets. You know, Jeremiah, God bless him, he had a very lonely job. He was one of the few true prophets of God, while the religious system was filled with many, many, many false prophets. And he was very, very unpopular amongst the people, as well as the religious leaders. Now, there was a remnant that will follow God. But when we talk about remnant, we're talking about a small amount of group of people. The majority, unfortunately, will follow the false prophets. And they'll be led, many, to their doom, to their death, because they believe the false prophets. It is vitally important for us as believers in Christ to make sure that which I am receiving is the Word of God, whatever church I would attend, whatever I am listening to on the radio, whatever I might be watching on the television as a preacher is preaching, that they are truly preaching the fullness of the Word of God. It is unfortunate we live in a day where preachers love to be people pleasers. And that's not what we're called to do. We are called to fulfill the ministry of the Word of God. We're to preach God's Word in all of its fullness and in all of its context. I must not start with a pretext. A pretext is what I want to give you, what I think will make you feel good or make me feel good or make you applaud me and make you appreciate me and think I'm Mr. Wonderful and so forth. The church is to be a place of education, not a place of entertainment. Now, we enjoy one another. We worship God and so forth. But the emphasis of the church is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And we will deal with many, many difficult topics. We will talk about sin. We will talk about salvation. We will talk about repentance, and we'll talk about reconciliation. We will talk about hell, and we will talk about heaven. Amen? And we must learn the full Bible. If you go to a new church, maybe you get transferred someplace, you end up on the mainland somewhere or any place in the world, just ask if the preacher teaches through the Bible in some form or fashion. He may do topical studies here and there, but there needs to be a consistent teaching through the Bible. So now we find ourselves, as we've been studying through Jeremiah, 22 chapters already. We're now in chapter 23. And God is not happy with the false teachers. Now, always remember, the false teachers are very religious. They're held in high regard. They're admired. They're believable, but they are false. And this is where you and I must realize it's not the man, but it's what he's saying. It's the Word of God that's coming forth from him. Or as a female teacher for women, from her. In chapter 23, he starts off and he says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord." These are shepherds who scatter and destroy the sheep of God. They're not bringing them into the Word of God. They're scattering these sheep. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant." Remember, we talked about the remnant. There's always a remnant. God never fails. He always has a remnant of believers. "But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them, who will feed them. And they shall hear, and they, excuse me, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. This is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely, the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. We cannot save ourselves. We're saved through faith by the grace of God. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the Savior of our souls. And it's by his righteousness that we are found. And that's good news. Isn't it great to know you can't earn your way to heaven? You just come to faith in Christ and he saves you. You're saved. Then he begins to change you, sanctify you by the word of God. And his righteousness, doing the right things before God, will be developed in you. That is the right life. But you're found in, completely in, the righteousness of Christ. When God sees you, he doesn't see you in your sins. He sees you in the righteousness of Christ. The blood of Christ has atoned for your sins. That's why we are able to go to a holy heaven. So many people say, well, I'm a good person. Why can't I go to heaven? You may be good, but you're not holy, and that is your problem. The only way to receive the holiness of God is to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Then you'll be consumed in his righteousness. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He died for our sins. He has cleansed us. He has washed us. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit, and he changes us. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. There's going to be a glorious day in the last days, as God has already been gathering the Jewish people from all the nations of the world. He has given them the land of Israel once again, May 14th, 1948. As they came back in the land, they were established as a nation. And God has been drawing in his people throughout the years since 1948. They received Jerusalem in 1967. Now the world is fighting against them. They want to make it their capital city. And the world says no. We've talked about this because they want Jerusalem to be an international religious city. Our politicians think they can save the world by having Jerusalem as an international religious city for all faiths. But in reality, they'll come in, set up a temple, the Antichrist will take over and say that he is God, and the Jewish people will have to flee, as Jesus foretold in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24. It is important for us to realize as believers in Christ that we're heading to the last days. We see God gathering his people already. And for us, it's very encouraging. For us, we are excited because we know the word of God. We see what's happening in our world. We see that Jerusalem is a stumbling stone to the world, a rock of offense. The earth is trembling. It's trying to establish its own righteousness, its own ways, without God. Without the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would have thought in America that it would be difficult to say Merry Christmas over these last 40 years? Who would have thought that that would be a problem? Who would have thought that people would actually be telling us that you can't pray in Jesus' name? Who would have thought? All this has happened in the last 40 to 50 years. Who would have thought that evolution would so take over that the Bible has been discarded and thrown away, the creation of God? Who would have thought that the Ten Commandments have no meaning anymore in our society? What has happened to America? We've been taken over by the atheist, the secularist, the God-haters. Why has it happened? God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their cry, their voice, their prayer, and I will answer them. It's because the church over these years has not been teaching the Word of God. The pastors who are to be shepherds should be feeding God's people the Word of God in all of its fullness, the whole Word to the whole world. The blame is on the pastors for not preaching the Word of God in all of its fullness. Woe unto you, shepherds! Woe unto you! You've scattered my sheep. To have one accord, to have a unity, is that we are all unified according to the Word of God. Now, people have said to me, oh, Daryl, you're intolerant. Oh, Daryl, you're just always talking about all these other denominations or religions and so forth, and people's sins and abortion and homosexuality and all these things. And you know what? You're really not tolerant. I'm very tolerant. I'm just trying to get people to heaven. How they live is up to them. It doesn't matter to me. It's up to them. I'm just telling you the truth of God's word. If you want to go to heaven when you die, instead of going to hell, a place of outer darkness, a place of torment, a place of weeping, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place where the worm, the maggots die not. They're crawling all over you, this body that's made for hell forever, and you're being tormented continuously in this flame. I'm just trying to say there's a way out. His name is Jesus. God has given you His Word. And now every shepherd must preach His Word, the Word of God in its fullness. I want you to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10 in the New Testament. Listen to what Jesus has to say. John 10, fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, Emmanuel. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The only way to get saved is through Jesus Christ. All religions do not lead to God. Only one person leads to God, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one and only that's conquered death and sin and the devil, has risen from the grave and ascended to heaven. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He will only preach to maintain the people without any offense through and from the Word of God so they can maintain the numbers and keep the cash flow coming in. God forbid. The church goes down to one person and wants to hear the Word of God, then so be it. But God is saying to shepherds today, quit scattering the sheep with the lack of the teaching of the Word of God. Quit counting the numbers. Quit looking at the cash. Look to the Word of God and preach it in all of its fullness from Genesis to Revelation. This is the calling upon every shepherd. One day, every shepherd will give an account to God. He's either going to be a real shepherd or a false shepherd, and a false shepherd will head to hell. Lord, Lord, did I not do miracles in your name? Lord, Lord, did I not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus turns to him and says, I don't even know you, you who work lawlessness. I don't know you. But Lord, did I not use your name? I don't know you. Why? Because they did it for their own greedy gain. You have all these health and wealth preachers on television. Phony balonies. The message is always about money and materialism. Covetousness. They're frauds, they're fakes. They love to take people's money and they say, oh, look how God has blessed me. You can get this blessing too. Yeah, you get on television, you beg for money, do the same thing, you can get it too. But they're frauds. They're fakes. Whenever you hear that message, start turning it about money, turn it off. Get into the Word of God. Grow in God's Word. And these guys have these mega churches. You know what the most tragic thing is? The people swallow it hook, line, and sinker because they have the same heart. They want the materialism of this world instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Motivational speakers, how you can achieve your dreams, the dream makers. Just believe in yourself. God will help you. You can achieve your dreams. Is that what it's all about? It's about being sanctified. It's about being changed. It's about the power of God working in you and through you. It's not about my dreams. It's about the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? What does God want to do in and through my life? Not about me achieving my kingdom. My kingdom go, his kingdom come. But this is a beautiful message for the American public. And then they treat it like a superstition. Make sure you give your seed faith money to our ministry. You give $10, God will give you $100. You give $100, God will give you $1,000. As if God has to do those things. I remember one of them, Marilyn Hickey, saying years ago, just speak to your wallet. Billfold be full of money. Can I ask you, where did Jesus say that? I heard Frederick Price say, God doesn't want you driving that Volkswagen. He wants you to be driving a Cadillac. Can I ask you where Jesus said that? He said, don't seek things of this earth where moth will eat away and rust will destroy and thieves will come in and steal, but seek first the kingdom of God. What's wrong with this? I got two different messages going on here. I got the message of Jesus Christ, and I got the message of these charlatans. When are we going to wake up as a body of Christ? When are we going to stop sending these charlatans money? When are we going to stop and start preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, reaching out in missions, doing a work for God, instead of sending these guys this money? Let's see, which jet do I want to buy today? You know what? I'll just buy them both. I'll buy both of these $30 million jets. So I got two jets in case one breaks down. Really? It has just become ridiculous. It is obscene. It is obscene what they do with God's people. And it's all through the world. The Lord said this would take place because it's going to be a lukewarm church. Lukewarm because they're lukewarm to the Word of God. They're not on fire in the Word of God. They're lukewarm to the Word of God. They're on fire for the things of the world. And God is their genie. And they can achieve their dreams by these false teachers. And it'll never happen. Oh, those false teachers will get rich, but not the people. They'll run through your money like nobody's business. It just drives me crazy. Jesus says, but the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, verse 12, one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, speaking of the Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Every good shepherd is to feed the flock of God the fullness of the Word of God. Now, be careful of the Bible bingo preachers, the hunt and peck preachers, where they just pull things out of context and they develop their own doctrine. This is why we take you through chapter by chapter in the Word of God. Now, if we have a topical study, maybe a topical on the Holy Spirit, maybe a topical on the deity of Christ, on the Trinity, on faith, on Bible doctrines like justification, sanctification, and so forth, we will teach those particular topics. But you be careful when all they do are their own special topics that makes you always just like, oh, yes, I can achieve my dreams. No, we need the fullness of the teaching of the Word of God. I don't know what guys are doing all week long if they're not teaching the Word of God. Every Bible teacher, every pastor needs to be learning and growing in God's Word. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Venture with me. What does Peter have to say in regards to being a shepherd? 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now listen closely to what Peter says. He gives us these four aspects. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Here he says to us, he says that shepherds are the shepherd, the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Pastor Chuck Smith, throughout the years of his ministry and his teachings, he taught all us Calvary Chapel pastors to be servants of Christ. We're not the big show. We're not to have our lights, our name and lights. He has always taught us that, you know what, if there's something needs to be done, it may be a dirty job and it's in front of you, nobody's there to do it, and you have the time, then get it done. It's important for all the shepherds of God to realize that we're servants of the Lord. I never want to be a pastor that is outside the people. You only see me here in the pulpit, and then I run away and hide in my office, and you'll never see me again. I like hanging out with you guys. You're fun, okay? I especially enjoy missions trips. We spend several a week or 2 weeks together, you know, running around ministering, doing things, getting involved in the various ministries that are here. Now, we've got about 35 different ministries happening here on a regular basis. We have a school with 180 or so kids. There's a lot going on. I find myself running here and there. I try to just kind of get to certain things, but I can't spend a lot of time in all places because I'm not in all places at all times. I'm not Jesus, amen? But I'll try to do my best to touch base, be someone involved, and let you run with the calling that God has called you. I'm not going to micromanage you, and I'm not going to, try to take the credit. This church is built upon all of us together working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate everything that everybody does. It's amazing to me. I'm greatly appreciative towards the wonderful worship people that God has raised up and all the children's ministry people that God has raised up. And from a Kukua ministry to a prison ministry to the home fellowships to the sound and the projection and the internet and the lighting and the Awana ministry and the school and all of our teachers and the administrative staff and our staff of pastors, of course, and the youth, those that help with the youth. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And you know what? God bless you and thank you so much. I really, really, really heartfelt appreciate everything that everybody does. I just can't get around all the time to tell everybody, but this is my heart. And this ministry isn't built on me. It's built through Jesus Christ. And all glory goes to Him. And all I know to do is to keep feeding you and teaching you the Word of God. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes we do difficult topics. But it's what we're called to learn and to live and to preach and to share. The Bible says here, He says, shepherd the flock among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not because I have to, but willingly. I want to. I love coming to work here. Nobody has fired me yet. It's good. Sometimes I fire myself. That was a lousy message. You're fired. Then I have to do another message. You're hired. You see, not by compulsion, but willingly. A pastor, a minister of the gospel must love the Word of God. He must love God, of course, love the Word of God, and love God's people. Love God's people, no matter what. Then he says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Well, am I going to get paid for this? I don't care if I get paid or not. How much do we owe you, Pastor, for this? Nothing. No, what do we owe you? Nothing. Don't worry about it. But it doesn't matter. We're here to minister the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Freely we have received, freely we shall give. And the Bible says this, it is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. We follow to our best ability, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, always. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. I'm not here to lord over you. I'm not here to run your life. I will help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you the Word of God that's going to bless your life and help your life and direct your life, but I'm not here to lord over you. You must do this. You must be here. You must, you must, you must, you must. You know what? I'd rather it be you want to be here. You love to be here. You want to serve. You love to serve. You see it as a calling and a blessing of God to be involved in the ministry. I don't want to get up here and rant and rave. Hey, we know more children's ministry people. You really need to get here. What's wrong with you guys? I can't believe you're all going to hell if you don't serve the Lord. No. Don't want to do that. I'd rather you be inspired by God to come because you're following what Jesus dictated to you and me. And that was, go ye therefore and make what? Disciples. This is our calling. This is what we do. Nobody has to wake me up in the morning. Nobody has to say, yeah, you better get down there. We just do it. I've been doing this my whole life. I worked a secular job, was involved in all kinds of ministries before I was full-time in the ministry. I know what it is to be on both sides, to have that job, to have a family, to be working hard, and to be serving the Lord. And then to be here on this side, whereas being a pastor, and then realizing that each of you are making a variety of sacrifices, a variety of changes in your life to serve God and to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And I just absolutely greatly appreciate it. So Peter talks to us and he says, hey, guys, this is how a shepherd's to be. It's never about money. I don't want to be involved in money. I don't look at the tithing. I don't look at how many people, you know. I mean, I can see who attends and stuff, but I mean, I'm not sitting there like counting noses and doing the nickels and all that stuff. Not interested. I learned years ago, I don't trust people or trust in the people. I trust God. I trust God. This is God's work. This is God's church. You are his people. I am his people. Yeah? So it all belongs to the Lord anyway. And I don't want to be involved in all the financial things and find out who's given what and all those things. It can corrupt your mind as a pastor. You find yourself chasing people and chasing the rich ones, see if they'll give money to your particular pet projects. It corrupts your mind. You find yourself giving favors to these people and not working with the rest of the people. And you'll be preaching to please them instead of preaching to please God. This is a great trap of the enemy. So I tell Chris, and I, you know, as he takes care of all the financial aspects along with Heath, I said, you know what? You guys take care of that side of the business, and I'm just going to keep preaching the Word of God. And we'll just keep loving God's people and keep going. Not that they don't, they do, but I'm just saying this. I don't want to be corrupted that way. I'm not going to come to you. We're not going to come to your door and say, how much are you going to pledge this year? You better make sure you make that pledge. We're going to check on you in 6 months. Now, if that's the way the church, that your particular church operates, that's fine. But I don't want you to be pressured. God says, I love a cheerful giver when it comes to that financial aspects. Not because you're pressured to give. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. We're not to be a hireling, we're just to serve, period. Go back to Jeremiah. As if this wasn't enough already, he talks about the Lord our righteous, the branch that will be raised up, the Messiah is going to be coming, there'll be a glorious day, especially in the millennial reign of Christ, where he establishes his kingdom on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And then we find in verse 9, false prophets are denounced. Listen to what he says. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. So he refers to them as adulterers. He refers to them as being powerful and control, and he refers to them as having a life that is evil. Now, the adultery can be physical immorality, and it can also be an adultery with an idol, worshiping false gods. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them. The year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. He's talking about the northern kingdom, what took place there. Samaria was their capital in the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north that were conquered by the Assyrians in 721 BC. Jeremiah is mainly ministering to the Judah, the two tribes to the south, and their capital is Jerusalem. And he's warning them and talking to their religious leaders and their politicians and everyone involved. And I have seen folly of the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy by Baal and cause my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. May I ask you a question? As we read this, how can a pastor of a quote-unquote so-called Christian church now agree and say homosexual marriages are okay? Or how can homosexuals be preaching in the pulpit? Or lesbians? When God says, as judgment was upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and they are to turn from their wicked ways. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. President Obama says we don't need Romans. Did you know that? He said that in a speech a few years ago. We don't need to listen to Paul the Apostle. Well, Paul the Apostle was anointed by God and he wrote by the power of the Holy Spirit. So did Peter. And our Lord Jesus Christ talks about Sodom and Gomorrah in the Gospels. And it was President Obama who said that we can't live according to the Sermon on the Mount. Really? Have you ever studied the Sermon on the Mount? It's given for us to live the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed means what? Happy. So what? God never wants you to be happy? Blessed are the meek. What do you mean? To have self-control? Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, we're not to preach righteousness and we don't realize we're going to be persecuted? Unfortunately, he doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not born again of the Spirit of truth, which leads you into the Word of truth, which is the Word of God. So we pray for him. Don't hate him, not a bit. We pray for his soul, that we'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the key. But don't sit there and say that you don't need the writings of Paul the Apostle or the book of Romans. Listen to what the Romans says. It says, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We had a phone call. I do the Bible question and answer show on Thursdays. A guy called in. He's in college right now, and he's in the sciences. I can't remember which particular one he was involved in. But he says, can you be a Christian and believe in evolution? Of course, the response from myself and the main host, I'm a co-host, was no, you can't. No, you believe in the Word of God. The Bible says God created all things. And evolution is a fairy tale. And I share with them about my experience when I was at the University of Southern California in a school class of 1,200 people in a biology class. I was a pre-pharmacy major. And they went on and on and on about evolution. And yet, where's the missing links? Where's the transitional forms? There are none. There are none. And there never has been any. And they'll never find any. And it was so tragic because at the end of our conversations that we shared with him, he actually said, well, you guys just don't know what you're talking about. We know a lot about what we're talking about. You study the DNA, you study the design of each animal, and you find that there's a chromosomal code that never changes for the elephants, for the giraffes, for the dogs, for the cats, for mankind. And there's no transitional forms whatsoever. We have adaptations. We adapt to our environments. God has made us that way. But not leaping from one species all the way to another species. It's not there. It's never been found and never will be found. But they have developed this fairy tale, and they've developed their pictures and their animations, and they brainwash people into believing this way. The Bible says here, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that even you are without excuse." You really believe that this human body came about by a series of complete accidents? Proteins and amino acids came together and just started forming the body, and all of a sudden we became of who we are today? The respiratory system, the nervous system, the muscular system, the skeletal system, the neurological system, the circulatory system. All of these systems have come about and they all function together. And you and I have this incredible eyesight, this incredible hearing, this incredible respiratory that operates and the heart that beats thousands upon thousands of times a day. And you think this is all a cosmic accident? May I ask you this? Have you lost your mind? I mean, really, think about it. How can you study the human body and say this came about by a series of accidents over billions of years? The weather systems, the plant systems, the fruit-bearing trees, the animals, everything there is, the universe. You think this all happened from a big bang in outer space? Now, folks, I don't know. Does it not sound absolutely absurd and ridiculous to believe that all that we have today is just a big cosmic accident? It is so ridiculous. It is so absurd. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And truly, it is absolutely foolish to think we came by just a series of unbelievable, incredible accidents. No, there is a beautiful, incredible designer who's made each and every one of us and all that we experience. And he is so far beyond us, you cannot even imagine. That is our God. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They wanted to live for sin. They didn't want accountability to a holy God. They didn't want to believe in a hell after death. Just live as you please. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. We must worship something. It is built into our souls to worship something. Either we're going to worship the true and living God, or we're going to worship all the false gods of this world. We'll worship ourselves. We'll worship money. We'll worship our own brains. And he says it is foolish. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, and knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve. They approve of those who practice them. We cannot approve. The Word of God will not permit us as Christians. So what do? We tell people the truth. We bring the truth to the lie. You were not born a homosexual. You are not born a transgender. If you have man parts, you're a man. If you have woman parts, you're a woman. It's very basic, very simple. I know it sounds awfully simplified. Amen? But let's listen. Let's listen to this. Now, look. The world is against God. Everything that God has made, the world will come against the creation of God. He'll come against even an individual believing as you're born a man, a guy, a boy at the time, you're born that way. The world will come against you. Satan will come against you and try to convince you to absolutely and completely rebel against God and God's creation of who you are. And the more our society continues to accept it, the more people's brains and hearts and minds are brainwashed and trained to not know who they are, how God has created them, and now they just find themselves floating in life without any direction, without the image of God of which God has designed them. And Jesus said it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah in the last days. It'll be like the days of Noah. And this is what we're seeing fed to this generation over and over and over again in the media, in music, in the movies, everything, constantly. Television. It is a constant brainwashing against God. Satan is the God of the airwaves. And people are being educated in this. Now they want to bring homosexual teachings and transgender teachings into a four-year-old classroom, preschoolers. Enough. Enough. Let the system collapse. Pull all the kids out. Put them in Christian schools. Homeschool them. Enough. Why will we subject our children to the discipleship of absolute paganism and hedonism? Why? But we do it because they need an education. In what? To brainwash your little four-year-old, three-year-old in homosexuality? What are we talking about here? Now, if we got good schools teaching good values and good morals, I'm with you 100%. And all you teachers, you know what? I'd take that curriculum if they give it to you. I'd throw it in a can and say, I'm not teaching it. There has to be a point in time where we say, this is wrong. But what about my paycheck? What about God? What about God? When are we going to stand up in this country and say, enough, I've had it? But instead, we tend to cower, we tend to run in fear, we tend to not want to be called bigoted. Call me names, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, amen? It doesn't matter, there's right and there's wrong. And this was Jeremiah. You guys are wrong. We hate nobody, but we're done with compromise. We're done with the lies. When will we stand up and say, all this is a bunch of garbage? That's our calling. And let's bring them the truth of God's word. Am I making sense or am I just a crazy preacher? Little of both, eh? But this is what Jeremiah is dealing with. It consumed the nation. Go to verse 15 of chapter 23. Jude talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, of course, you have the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look, I want to help people. I'm not wanting to hurt people. I'm here to help people. But I got to speak the truth. All of us do. We have to speak the truth. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets or prophets who prophesy to you that make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. They walk according to the dictates of their own heart instead of the dictates of the Word of God. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. These are the latter days. These are the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the days of Noah. We must preach the gospel and reach people for Christ. But yet, these are the days we're living in. They're dark. They're immoral. They're rebellious days against God. And once the rapture of the church happens, the lawless one will be revealed, the Antichrist. And the world will follow him in droves. And they will take the mark of the beast. Right now, there's a company in Wisconsin. They want all their employees to take the chip and put it in their hand so that everything they do, from the copier to the door to everything, their computers, and that chip will handle everything. No way. It's an indoctrination. It's getting people ready, getting ready for the Antichrist. We're getting there. It's not the mark, but it's getting there. Temple hasn't been rebuilt and so forth. Then it says the following. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? Am I not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor and every one to his brother, What has the Lord answered? And what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle or the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. For every man's word shall be his oracle, for you have perverted the words of the living God. The Lord of hosts, our God. That which we deal with today is the same they dealt with in Jeremiah's time. Perverting the word of God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? And what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore, thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you, saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you and forsake you. And the city that I gave you and your fathers will cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. We're ending here, but we find here Jeremiah is speaking to all those false prophets and all the people that would follow the false prophets. It says, God is done with you. He's given you time to repent. He's given you time. He's spoken to you. But you keep giving these false prophecies. You keep giving these false dreams. You keep giving false words that are not from God. And they compromise with the culture. And they live for sin instead of living for a holy and just God. When you study the church of Laodicea in the last days, that lukewarm church, Jesus says, you make me sick and I want to vomit you out of my mouth. This is why we must be the church of Philadelphia in these last days, my friends. He says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world because you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You and I, as believers in Christ, this is what we're to do. Keep going through the word of God. Keep living the word of God. Keep sharing the word of God. And we can never go wrong. But don't let this world influence you. Don't let the false religious teachers influence you. Stay in the word of God. Let's keep growing together. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your loving grace and kindness. We realize the days that we are living in, that these are crazy days. These are days of sinfulness, days of rebellion, and days of lies, these are days of deception. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would help us and guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit of truth, by the word of God that sanctifies us in truth, by your Son, by you, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We will not follow any man. We will not follow any other false religion. We will not follow this culture, but we're going to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to follow the word of God. We're going to understand it because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and we'll learn it in all of its fullness and context. Now, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you, man. He died for your sins. He wants to save your soul. He will never force you to go to heaven. What will a man give in exchange for his soul, Jesus declared? What's this world worth in exchange for your soul? To spend eternity in hell? God forbid. Jesus died for you. He wants to wash away your sins. He wants to forgive you. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to change your life. You can't change it. He'll change it for you. If you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart this evening, then please raise your hand. Anybody here, you need to get saved. Please raise your hand. Anybody here? Anybody here? Just want to make sure. For all of us here tonight, Lord, give us the discernment we need so that when we see these false teachers or hear these false teachers, that we would be aware that it's false teaching, and we can help lead other people out of these false religions, these cults, from these false teachers that are in error, and lead them to the truth of the Word of God. You've called us to this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.